Experience. That's what we're going to discuss today. And the whole Christian walk is experiencing God by revelation. That revelation in His Word, knowing His will, and whether we desire and want to do His will or not. That, of course, is another point. But to do His will and to walk with God and to understand His Word and His Word to do that work in our lives and to be sown into our hearts, there has to be a prayer life that is attached to that. You see, the Holy Spirit has come to do a complete work in us, and that also includes a prayer life. And if we don't really have a prayer life, we're not really going to go that far, and we're not going to really experience a lot of the Lord. In many ways, our prayer life brings the reality, the experience of Almighty God in our lives. And the Word of God that we hear constantly, week after week, should very often encourage us and challenge us to take elements of what we hear before God in prayer, praying it through, praying for that experience, praying for that greater faith, or where the Word of God has challenged us, or indeed exposed some areas in our lives and hearts. That is where a prayer life is essential if we're going to experience the power of prayer. Let's turn to some scriptures to just introduce ourselves into this study tonight. Psalm 109 and verse 4. Psalm 109 and verse 4. And part of that verse says, the psalmist says, "But I give myself to prayer." The psalmist is saying, "I give myself to prayer." So the psalmist sees that prayer is important to the life. In the case, it's the psalm, it's David's psalm. So David sees how important prayer is, and he says, "I give myself to it." In many ways, he's saying, "I'm consecrating myself to prayer." because he has seen something, he's seen the value, the importance of it. And so often God wants to reveal to us these deeper truths, these realities, these things that are so important. Let's look at another scripture in Psalm 72 and verse 15. Psalm 72 and verse 15. And he shall live, and the end of Sheba will be given to him. Prayer also will be made for him continually, and daily he shall be my praise. So again, the psalmist says here that prayer will be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised. And of course, this is really a messianic psalm about Messiah. And of course, it's reaching out to the future, of course, where Messiah will be raised up as the high priest, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding, praying, prayer given daily, hourly, momently, all the time. Prayer is being offered. So our Lord has chosen still in his glorified body one of the greatest ministries, and that is prayer. So again, we start to glean from this how important that we keep with this and not give up. Let's turn to the New Testament in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and 4 and verse 6, which says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So he says, in everything, by prayer. And it means exactly what it is. In everything, we give to God in prayer. In other words, our life is a prayer. We are in communication with God. We're in dialogue. We're offering up those prayers when needed. In other words, it's having that attitude, that consecration in which to pray or to be ready for prayer, or to be led by the Spirit to set aside, to intercede, to supplicate. Wish to God that more Christians in the house of God were ready to pray, because so much would be achieved if we were. We wouldn't experience some of the things that we do if we got down and we prayed and we interceded and we sought the Lord. Let's continue with this if we're still not convinced. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. Rejoice always. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. There again is this meaning of being in prayer, in the attitude of prayer, ready to pray 24/7. If the Holy Spirit leads, that is what he's looking for. And he says, with that praying without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, and despise not prophesying. Very often the Holy Spirit can be quenched because we just don't pray as we should. And so we're not experiencing the presence of God as we should in our lives. And let us finally, with looking at this, turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke 18 and verse 1. Luke 18 and verse 1. Then he spake a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Now Jesus gets to the root of the problem. And it very often is the root of our problem. He says, don't lose heart. Be in prayer. Men always ought to pray and don't lose heart. Now, why does he say not to lose heart? Because sometimes it seems as though God isn't hearing you. Or it seems as though your prayers have gone amiss. And the enemy, of course, can be very vocal when we get into prayer. See, your prayers weren't answered. And so we can then become despondent. We can lose heart. And that is where we start to not pray so much. We're just giving into it. And so we find our prayer life very slowly diminishes. And it's not what it used to be. Is that your problem tonight? Then praise God, he wants to do something about that. He wants to revive that back into your life. You see, very often answers to prayer have to be learnt. They have to be applied. It has to be experienced. And it can take a time. In actual fact, your prayer life is a lifetime. The same as our walk with God is a lifetime in this world, and so is prayer. And it's something we should not give up on or become despondent about. I think if the enemy attacks anywhere in a Christian's life, it is with regard to their prayer life. I have found the enemy has attacked me more in that area over the years than anything else. And we all know what these attacks are like. You can get into prayer and suddenly find somebody comes to the door. Or you suddenly get a flood of phone calls, which you don't normally get. Or you get into prayer and suddenly you come over desperately tired. You can hardly keep your eyes open. Or the enemy tries to attack your mind and get your mind off on other things, particularly if they're pressing things on your mind or you're going through a trial or whatever it is. Oh, there are many, many ways that he's trying to hinder. But of course, why is he trying to hinder? You see, he's giving himself away. That is the whole point. Satan hates a saint who is praying in faith, believing in God, believing in the promises of God, praying those promises through, supplicating, standing in the gap. He tries to fight, and he will try and do it with despondency. He'll just try to make you a bit fed up, down, and depressed. Oh, I'll do it later on, or whatever it be. Well, of course, it never happens. Because always something else comes up. And so, that is why we have the Holy Spirit and we're baptized in the Spirit. Because he's come along as the comforter. To help, to lead and guide us. And this is, of course, why we pray also in the Spirit in tongues. Because it is so powerful and vital. That is God's language praying through you, interceding through you. There is still so much to learn with regard to prayer. But a lot of prayer is hindered by our unbelief and sin in our lives. Let's turn to something familiar that we know in Mark 11:24. Mark 11:24-25. Here you get a clear indication of hindrances to Christians' prayers. Mark 11, verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So we see from there that prayers can be hindered by sin, hardness of heart, or sin that you're trying to push under the cover and you've not brought out into the light and confess. It will hinder your prayer life. And that again is why a lot of Christians, confessing believers, are having problem with a prayer life or very little prayer life, because sin is hindering them, stopping them. And therefore you cannot release that faith to believe. If the enemy doesn't try and get you one way, he's going to try another. And the Lord sometimes allows him that access to get our attention, to make us desperate sometimes, in order to believe. And it's not rocket science to find often what is hindering our prayer life. The Holy Spirit is showing loud and clear. It's because we don't want to acknowledge, we don't want to see it, we don't want to bring it out into the light, that we can get cleansed and healed. But if we want that prayer life and we see the importance of prayer, which we've been already showing you, then something within you is going to do anything in order to stand right with God, to pray effectively. And that is our responsibility. The Lord has already provided forgiveness. He's provided through the blood of Jesus that he shed for us. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, as it says in 1 John. But if we don't do that, then it is our problem. And often it's pride, fear, that is the hindrance. One of the biggest hindrances we see in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verses 14 and 15. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Look what the Lord says here. To those who humble themselves, who seek God, who confess before him, he says, I will forgive their sin and I'll heal. I'll deliver you. That's what he's promised. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. So he says that he will hear. He will be attentive. He will be ready, quick to answer. But so often, we are the hindrance. We allow these areas, and particularly in the area of unforgiveness, we hold resentment, anger, bitterness towards people or brothers and sisters in the Lord. God doesn't hear. And you can pray day and night, you can fast for 40 days, but God won't hear. Because we're not willing to humble ourselves before Almighty God. As we know in the scriptures, God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. In other words, he pushes them away from him, cannot have it in his presence, because he's most holy. So there are a number of experiences that we should be experiencing in prayer. And one of them also is that with a prayer life, it keeps us watchful. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious, watchful in your prayers. Prayer enables us to be watchful. And this again is absolutely important. It's paramount, particularly in these last days. For example, if we turn to Mark 13, Mark 13 and verse 33, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. So Jesus said, particularly for the last days, to watch and pray. And I believe that that is why not only should prayer be experienced, but that he's encouraging us to have this prayer life, because those who have a prayer life will be ready for when the Lord comes and will not be taken off guard, or he will come like a thief in the night. To many, he is going to come like a thief because they're not watchful in prayer. They haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to work and cultivate a prayer life in them. So again, we see the importance of all of this. Again, in Mark 14 and verse 38, he says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So again, we see that prayer keeps us from temptation. In other words, keeps us from the evil one, who would try to deceive us, tempt us, lure us away. Many Christians that fall to temptation fall because they've neglected their prayer life. And again, we see in Ephesians 6 and verse 12, which you know very well, we talk a lot on. But it tells us here, just to remind yourselves, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So again, all of this is a reminder why we should be in prayer, in the attitude of prayer, ready to pray anytime, 24/7, for these very reasons. How much more as we're getting closer now to the coming of the Lord? We don't know whether this year we're going to be facing a World War III with the news that we hear. So how much more now should we be in prayer over these things, and praying in the spirit as well as in the understanding? Why? Because we're wrestling against the powers of darkness. We're wrestling against the devil. Now, God would not encourage us with this if our prayers were not effective against the devil. And they are effective against him, and that is why he attacks. If you want to go by feelings or how this is all happening, don't do that. Just obey what God tells us to do, and he does the rest. Because the warfare is in the heavenlies. That's where it's taking place. You know, Satan, he fundamentally attacks in two areas. He attacks you personally, and he can attack the church. and he can cause divisions. He can cause error. These are the things that he tries to work in Christian circles. And this is why it's important that we should be experiencing the power of prayer in these two main areas. That is, getting the devil off your own back, and prayer for his body, his church. Because that is what he's coming back for. And that is why it's important that we have prayer not only individually but corporately as well. So that we pray together, because there's more power. There's the gifts in operation and so on. But you know, as I sum up in all of this, prayer is dependent on a relationship with God. And it's an absolute acknowledgement of his holiness. What he is, what he does, and what he has done. And it can only be achieved by putting his kingdom first and not self first. The moment self starts getting in the way, your prayer life is weakened. Your prayer life starts to slowly diminish when self wants its own way. But when our heart's desire is to seek and to put his kingdom first, he's going to give you a prayer life that will accompany that. Because if you're seeking the kingdom, then your prayer life is going to be influenced about the things of the kingdom and not always about self. And that, brothers and sisters, is to be experienced. It's not just something that we read or hear a sermon on. It should be something the overcomers are entering into, that's becoming their experience. And so, you see, it's accepting that we receive by faith, but it's on his terms. We receive by faith because we seek first the kingdom. And faith says all these things will be added, that you don't have to strive for or plead for. It will all be added. Everything that is needed to live in this world and to meet all the bills and everything that, is just getting worse and worse in the natural. If we put first that kingdom, the faith is there. You're not trying to believe. It's just naturally flowing. But if self is still present and self still wants its own way, then you are hindered. You cannot get that prayer life that you want. You will be buffeted. You will not have that peace that you desperately are looking for. Because the world doesn't give that peace. And that's what self does. And so, we're learning, aren't we, that God is not only sovereign, but all of this is on his terms. And that is why you have to be divinely taught by the Holy Spirit how to pray. He is your greatest teacher for your prayer life. He will show you how to pray. He will show you what pleases your Father. He will lead you in those areas to pray. He will reveal things to you that come through prayer and intercession. But you know, prayer, it requires fellowship. And that is unbroken fellowship. But when there is sin or unconfessed sin, then it is breaking that fellowship with Almighty God. And that is why your prayers are hindered. They're not getting answered. This is why I constantly say, if we have fallen short or we have sinned, don't run away. Come running into his presence and get it out into the light. And let the blood of the Lamb deal with it, because that unbroken fellowship is absolutely essential to this prayer life that God wants from us, that we're to experience. It's absolutely paramount. And we've also got to accept that there is warfare. And we don't always want that. We always try and excuse, or, you know, I don't want to enter into it, or I don't understand it, or whatever it is. The Holy Spirit does. He understands warfare. He knows exactly who he's coming against and addressing. But he wants to use you in order to do it. And you will find, as you obey and yield to the Spirit of God in this, you will find more and more you will be rising up and putting the enemy to flight. And finally, this experience in prayer is also waiting on God's time. And that's why Jesus said, don't lose heart. Don't give up. Because sometimes prayer takes a season. It is a season of prayer. It's a season where you're waiting. You're pressing in. Or it's that knocking on the door. Sometimes that is how prayer is. Other times prayer can just be speaking to the powers of darkness. Or sometimes it can be prayers of just thanksgiving. Or it can be supplicating for someone who is sick or going through a trial. There are different areas within our prayer life. And the Holy Spirit, he will show you. He'll guide you. In fact, you'll begin to find that prayer is much, much, much more interesting than you ever thought. There is so much to it. In fact, there's so much to it. That is why Jesus took his place at the right hand of the Father to be an intercessor, because there is so much to prayer. Well, if Jesus has done that, how much more should that be an influence and an encouragement to us? So don't give up. Don't lose heart. It may have seemed a long time. It may seem as though your prayers are going no higher than the ceiling. But he says, don't give up. And if our hearts are truly right with God, and we stand in that unbroken fellowship, whatever is hindering, whatever hindrances to your prayer life, the Lord will remove it. The Holy Spirit will remove it. God wants your prayers. He desires your prayer, the prayer of faith, even far more than yourself. So how much more is he going to work on your behalf to get you to that place where your prayers are answered? And not only are they answered, but you know that they're answered. You know that your Father has heard you, just the same as Jesus experienced the same. These are some of the things, brothers and sisters, that we should be experiencing. So there we are. Prayer should be an experience. That's what we've looked at today and exhorted you. And I trust that you take this away and you pray on this and you ask the Lord that this will become a living reality in your everyday life and walk. Praise God.
Beloved, building up. Jesus.